Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. It's time now for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening. Michael Irvin doing some of his best work, and I think, you know, this is great because as fans, we don't need him saying, you know, defending Jerry Jones in any way at this point. He has pivoted away from that and believing in this team to demanding better. And hopefully, you know, that can, lead them to reconsider or lead more fans to take that position. Because in reality, you know, you could be in the media, you can be an all-time great, and you can say these kinds of things, but ultimately it's going to come down to the majority of the fan base agreeing with those and not tuning in and not going to the games. That is what ultimately will lead to a meaningful change with this organization. So I think we're off to a good start when you have a guy like Troy Aikman being as critical as he has for two decades, but now Michael Irvin's on board, Emmitt Smith, Drew Pearson. I think, you know, at some point the legends are going to reach critical mass and really have a strong influence. But let me give you what he had to say here as we jump into the
Hold on, you brought up Drew Pearson.
Yeah.
There's, you know, Instagram will show you, like, if somebody liked the video, there's just videos of people just ripping Jerry and the Cowboys. You look down, it says, original 88.
There you go.
Like, Drew? Oh,
yes.
Man, come on, bro.
Everybody's got to do their part here. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Mike said on the road, for these Cowboys, there's no curfew, no team meeting Saturday night like all other teams, and coaches who get promoted from within have a pressure to keep that up because the guys in the building got him that job. I felt like he was really spilling the tea or telling you how the sausage is made. You promote a guy like Schottenheimer, it's just a continuation of some of the things that Michael Irvin doesn't like. He says they want the same comfort as the guy that was there before them.
Can you reemphasize some of that? What do they have in place here that he's alleging?
No road curfew. No Saturday meeting. So everybody gets on the plane and goes to your destination at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It says all the other teams get there and then they get together and meet and talk football for 90 minutes or a couple of hours, right? Like going over the game plan. For the Cowboys, it's like, we want you to enjoy your time. Enjoy your evening, guys.
Well, Jerry doesn't really believe in clocks. So that makes a lot of sense, right? But I don't care about time clocks.
Yeah, you know,
there's no curfews.
I thought that was, you know, a really good insight there by Michael Irvin, and further explained why he's so frustrated with this hire, because he wants to bring in the type of dynamic leader that's not going to settle for the way that things have been, you know. And you get a guy like Schottenheimer, part of the expectation, if you so heavily endorsed him inside the building, is you're going to continue with, you know, the ways that we get to enjoy our life. He said he called this a lost opportunity, not hiring Dion, and believes, you know, strongly in a coach's ability to will an organization to victory. And I agree with that. You know, I think the leadership or the lack of leadership that the Cowboys have gotten from their coaching staff is an opportunity to take them somewhere we can't imagine. Like, what if they all bought in, you know, with that sort of brotherhood and camaraderie that Michael Irvin believes those kind of road team meetings lend themselves to? Okay, we go to the moment Jimmy knew it was over. Ed Werder retweeted this. Guy who read the biography said, Jimmy had a great note in his autobiography about how he and Jerry had a deal where Jimmy handled football and Jerry handled business. Then Jerry came to him and said Jimmy's job seemed fun, and Jerry changed the terms of their deal. Jimmy knew it was over. Ed retweeted that, saying Jerry offered Jimmy a contract extension that included a raise but also returned personnel control to Jerry. Jimmy declined to accept and sign those terms. That was really the beginning of like a butterfly effect that continued with Mike McCarthy just 2 weeks ago deciding he didn't want to continue on in that kind of an arrangement.
It's the day the Cowboys died.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest hurdle. And Jerry has no interest in jumping it.
Yeah, you know, and it does seem fun. You know, if I had a basketball team, that's what I would want to do. You know, I feel like I can find pretty good players. You're going to show me the 10 best college guys and I get to pick the one that I want, or, you know, wait for the group to fall to me, you know. And so I understand why. But
yes, team building is badass.
After a certain period of time, if I was falling on my face and failing, I would say, man, I really owe it to the city and the organization to step away from this. As embarrassing as it is, I got to get out of here, guys. I'm screwing this thing up. Like, Jerry's lack of respect for how miserable he's making millions and millions of people just because, damn it, I bought it and this is what I want to do, it's sad. You know, but Ed noted later on down in the comments, he said when he bought this thing, he didn't buy it as an investment. He bought it as an occupation for himself for the rest of his life.
Yeah, yeah, and his own personal fun is more important than actually winning, which is just crazy. He's one of one.
Well, hey, now, since 2010, sixth winningest franchise in the NFL, okay? So this drought, guys, I don't know why you're making such a big deal
about it. It's a postseason drought.
Come on.
I mean, come on, guys. Didn't you like the regular season wins? Isn't that fun?
They win a lot of games. A lot of games.
We go to Dan Rogers, some Eberflus highlights. This is the man that we expect to become defensive coordinator soon. Helped Bruce Carter and Anthony Hitchens develop and get paid. Was linebacker's coach when Rolonda McClain made his short comeback and was really good for the Cowboys for a couple of seasons. And then also I'd throw in there, he was at Indianapolis when Leonard took off and became one of the best linebackers in the game. And the Colts really had something going until he had a string of injuries that kind of threw him off his path. Well, it got spinal on him, didn't it?
That's spinal.
Okay, RJ Ochoa, the Eagles have been to 8 NFC championship games and 4 Super Bowls since the Cowboys last went to one of either. That's what I'm talking about with, wouldn't one of these stats make you go, oh, geez, yes, I got to get the crap out of here.
Right.
I'm embarrassed. But, you know, the 3 Super Bowls back in the 90s, I think is what he's leaning on as like evidence that he can get it done. But, you know, we had the text on us last segment. We were talking some Eagle stuff and just the sort of disdain that I think a lot of Cowboys fans feel for that organization and the fan base. And somebody was saying, well, you know, they're back in the Super Bowl. It's odd that you guys are trash-talking them like that. I mean, it's the culture of their fans. It's disgusting, right? It's so unseemly. It's you know, we can acknowledge their front office, their ownership, their coaching has all been better than what the Cowboys do. And, you know, there's a lot of that we respect and wish the Cowboys would emulate. So when I'm talking crap about the Eagles, it's more just the embarrassing and obnoxious state of their fan base that makes them like somebody just perpetually farted in a room. It's like the worst thing you could see in football.
I can give the Eagles credit. I think Howie Roseman right now is, if not the best, among the best GMs in all of football. I think their roster's awesome. They got a lot of players that seem likable, but they can still go bleep themselves, and I hate them.
And their fan base in particular.
We go to Mike Zimmer here. Yes, their fan base is the worst. CowboysCountry.com. The truth.
That's Mike Fisher, right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
MikeFisher.com?
I saw his face up here.
Exclusive.
He was doing a video chat, I guess, with Zim. He got an interview with him, an exclusive.
There you go.
The truth is that I've wanted to be the next head coach of the Cowboys for 25 years. So he says, all I know is that NFL teams aren't exactly beating down my door. I didn't enjoy going 7-10, but I enjoyed my time here. Mm-hmm. I woke up wanting to go to work every day, and over the course of the season, I lost 20 pounds. So congrats to Zim there. But sounds like maybe his feelings were a little bit hurt that he didn't get considered, and because of that, he doesn't want anything to do with the job anymore.
No, doesn't want nothing to do with the job. He's worked for 6 of the 10 head coaches in the history of the Dallas Cowboys, and each time he's been passed over for the opportunity, and he can't figure out why. You know, every time he's ever come back, he's had success. Even those 5-11 teams, he had top 10 defenses. We weren't great on offense. That was a huge problem, and he can't understand why. Why do I keep getting passed over? Maybe it's the age. Maybe I don't. He's really, really confused and kind of hurt by it.
My read on it is he's just not like a get along guy, you know, to just to say yes to whatever it is that you want, all the stipulations. And I think Jerry knows that. They've seen firsthand the type of coach he is. And that's exactly what you want in a lot of ways. But Jerry and company want nothing to do with somebody like that.
It's upsetting because it really feels like if continuity was something that they preach and that they really like, it seems like offense is the only thing that continuity matters. So now it's year two. You're going to have a different defensive coordinator. Does it not matter any other part of the ball except for making sure your quarterback's happy? Because what if you could have hired Zim as head coach and then you hired Shoddy to call the plays? He still is your play caller. And now, okay, you've still got Zim back. Defense is intact. You've got Shoddy, who they've wanted clearly. Your offense is intact. But I guess maybe that wasn't even considered.
It's comfort over continuity, you know? Continuity that is also comfortable. And Shoddy will give him the comfort. I don't think Zimmer would.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, how much of a downgrade have you had from last year's coaching staff? You had Schottenheimer here, right? You had Zimmer here. The things that worked were Mike McCarthy setting the tone, the guys playing hard for him, the guys, you know, the 12-win seasons, and then the guys figuring out on defense. So you've lost Zimmer and you've lost McCarthy, two of the things you would want from continuity, and you retain Schottenheimer on a hope that he's going to be able to do something with the offense that he was unable to in an assistant role to McCarthy. So this is bizarre. I think the narrative that they didn't expect Mike McCarthy to leave and kind of got caught with their pants down and are scrambling to make the most of it now is probably the one that I'd go with. Details from Calvin Watkins on who could emerge on this Cowboys coaching staff. Bears secondary coach Andre Curtis will interview for DC. They're also going to interview Matt Eberflus in this coming week. ESPN reporting the Cowboys have requested to interview Dolphins outside linebackers coach Ryan Crow. Falcons tight ends coach Kevin Coger will interview for the Cowboys offensive coordinator role. Okay, so hopefully he can bring something. A pair of assistant special team coaches, Chris Banjib from Denver and Carlos Polk from the Bears, will interview for the vacant special teams coordinator position as well.
Keep an eye on a guy that's probably going to be here, David Overstreet, who's the nickelback coach at the Bears. That seems like a guy that I'm kind of hearing some buzz about, David Overstreet.
Well, and I saw that Jonathan Jones reported that Schottenheimer has interest in the Cardinals offensive line coach, Clayton Adams, for the Cowboys OC position. And that's a guy who, I mean, Drew Petzing is the play caller there with the Cardinals, and he's like a young, up-and-coming kind of head coach candidate dude. And this is a guy that's been well-respected for, like, those lists come out every year of, like, the best young assistants that could level up. And he's been on that list. He's designed a nice rushing attack for the Cardinals. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a pin and pull dude, yep.
And I dig that.
We'll get John Oning's thoughts on this big Cowboys Monday here with you in the G-Bag Nation coming up at 4 o'clock. If you want to go back and listen to the press conference, we had it late morning starting at around 11 o'clock. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, one of my buddies had a mock draft, and Wolchuk and I are going to try and educate you two fools. We'll do that next.